Chicago's home for sports. Now.
Jay Norling, Tyler Aki in for Greeny this morning on what has become a Bears Wednesday at the station. With Ben Johnson meeting the media, an introductory press conference coming your way at 11 a.m. And then more Bears content. Ben Johnson joins Carmen and Yurko today at 12:30. Ryan Poles will also join Carmen and Yurko, expected 1:15. And your boys, Waddle and Sylvie, expected to have Kevin Warren on the show today.
Yeah, I can't wait.
A ton of Bears content all right here on ESPN Chicago as optimism hits fever pitch.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, the way that this thing has flipped from the cynicism of having to talk yourself into Mike McCarthy to, damn it, we got Ben Johnson. How did it happen?
That the whole thing with McCarthy, too, was I can talk my way into it easier than I can talk my way out of it.
Peak
it was
Stockholm never, syndrome for I this would, fan base.
Yeah, it was never I'd be excited. Like, for me, it was always two guys. It was Ben Johnson and it was Joe Brady. They were the two I wanted the most. And really, Ben Johnson was the top target. And when the news came in on Monday, like, look, yesterday I did this show with Pat the Designer and for Greeny, and it was celebration. It was, I needed a tissue box and some Jergens. Like, it was, I was in a good place. And now it's more like, is the optimism warranted? Has has my head come down from being in the clouds yet? And the answer for me is no. Like, I just think this is exactly the right process that you had to take. And we can lay out the pathway for how it's going to be successful, but I think you guys have heard enough of that. And I want to hear from you, 312-332-3776. We're all in, and we'll tell you why, but Tyler and I are all in on this. And I want to know if you're joining us, or if your life as a Bears fan and the moments that you've had similar to this are making you more cautious. Are you feeling like you're Charlie Brown with the football and you're lining up to get tricked again?
Can I tell you this, though? I am in a bit of a state of confusion to a degree. It's kind of like an I don't know what to do with my hands moment for myself right now, because I know everything that is being done right now is right. Like, even going back to last draft, taking Caleb Williams number one overall, right decision to do that in the moment, even though the early returns on it are he's not the best quarterback in that draft class so far, but it was the right move for the process. Then in this hiring cycle, I know the right move for the process is getting offensive guy to pair with Caleb Williams to advance through the future, and you got the top offensive guy for all intents and purposes in terms of crowdsourcing this thing and just seeing the results on the field of what Detroit's offense has looked like over the past couple of seasons with Ben Johnson as the guy calling the plays. So I know the process is right, but I know this has ended poorly many, many times for the Bears in years past. Like, the level of joy between acquiring Caleb and going out and getting Ben Johnson, to me, like, the last time I felt like this in my Bears fandom was the day they traded for Cutler. And that never lived up to what it was supposed to be.
Right.
So I am all in the sense that they are doing the absolute right thing. Everything process-wise is being done correctly right now. But I've seen process being done correctly also end poorly. So I'm all in, but it's also at the point where if this doesn't work, nothing may ever work.
Yeah, that's, I think, where we're at, too. Like, and it's why you almost, for me, you have to be all in. Like, you almost just have to make yourself believe.
Blind faith.
And I get there's a hesitancy, but isn't this what sports fandom is about? Like, yeah, your life as a sports fan, imagine being a Lions fan. Your life as a sports fan has been a kick to the balls forever.
Dude, we were talking about it Saturday night. Like, if this wasn't the team, then when is the team going to ever show up?
Right. I get being hesitant about it, but one, there's nothing we can do as fans about what they're doing except celebrate that the process actually makes sense. Like, they didn't go get the third level offensive coordinator. They didn't get Matt Nagy in this one. They got Frank Reich. And whether Frank Reich worked or not is irrelevant. You have to make it work. That's the job of the organization now. But I'm choosing to be all in because the process is so different from what they've done in the past. And I wonder if the people are with us on it.
Yeah.
I wonder if the idea that finally George McCaskey is spending at the top shelf and getting it to a position of uncomfortable with how much he's going to pay this head coach, with Ben Johnson clearly choosing this as his landing spot. And guys, the news this morning, if you haven't been paying attention or if you haven't seen it, Liam Cohen pulled out of the Jacksonville gig.
Yeah.
And the beat writers down in Jacksonville are saying Liam Cohen, the Jags were all in. That was their plan. And now Ben Johnson's off the table and Liam Cohen's going back to Tampa Bay. So I say that to make the point. He chose you.
Yeah.
He had his options. Clearly the Jags is not the attractive landing spot people thought it was. He spurned Vegas to the point I genuinely believe he got them to fire their GM and interview his boy when he wasn't even going there. No, he chose here. This was the most attractive destination. And you went out and paid up to get the most attractive candidate. It's hard for me not to be all in on this.
You said it yesterday, and it's something we texted about over the weekend, too. Kevin Warren looks like the biggest winner out of all of this, because even though ownership has not changed, the guy who is in charge of the team is acting completely differently than what we've seen in years past under Ted Phillips and with George as the head of... No. Kevin Warren, you are the captain now. Like, he is steering this ship, and I think he's moving it in the right direction as well. And I'll admit, like, I was skeptical of what Kevin Warren was going to bring. But I think everything you needed to know about where this team is and where it could be going stems back to them firing Matt Eberflus in season. It was the only call you could have made, albeit it ended in a very clunky fashion, but you made the move you had to make, something unprecedented in your franchise's 100-plus year history. And you go out, you make that move, and that to me kind of put me on alert and said, you know what, Ben Johnson could be a possibility, or whoever the top candidate is that may be out there could be a possibility. Even the rumors, too, that they picked up the phone for Tomlin. Doesn't that tell you things are being done a little bit differently?
Well, it tells me they're making the swings.
Yeah.
And I think in the past they've been happy to watch the pitch and take a walk. And now they're standing in the batter's box and they're swinging for the fences.
Right.
And you might strike out. This all might fail. But I would much rather, as an organization, the philosophy be get in there and let her rip than let's watch things go by us and we'll wait for our pitch. No, dude, go up and swing.
Yeah. And listen, doubles are good too, right? And now I'm not saying I hope that Ben Johnson is a double equivalent head coach, but if you keep hitting doubles, like, you're going to stack up some wins. You're going to put yourself and your franchise in a good spot. Frankly, I think that's a lot of what Detroit has done. I mean, it's just been stacking a lot of doubles and triples, a home run here or there. But it's not like they're taking these big swings at things all of a sudden. Like, think about it. They've done more selling than buying in Detroit. And it's worked out because they just keep taking these small little profits along the way, and it's led to a good thing.
What did Andrew Luck say? You won't go broke taking a profit.
Yep.
It just, this was the right way to go about it. It was a different way, a different process of doing it organizationally. And for me, and I think for Tyler, we're all in on it.
Mm-hmm.
There is no caution in the optimism for me. I think this is going to work. I believe that this is the pathway to a Super Bowl. You have paired your young quarterback with the brightest offensive mind in the league, and that is a potential 15-year situation.
Yeah.
Like, that's what Jaquan Brisker's talking about over the weekend. I want it to be an offensive guy so that when we're dominant, he doesn't leave. That's why Minnesota's extending Kevin O'Connell. That went through. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the way it's going. It is an analytical league. You have to hire a guy who embraces the analytics side of it.
Mm-hmm.
It is a younger man's game. You got to hire a younger guy. They checked every box for me. So, no, I'm not going to sit up here and go, I just wonder, are they going to be able to support this? Are they going to do a good enough job going forward? They have to. There is no other option for me. They have to. and they pick the guy to do it. And you have a GM who has ceded ground to his head coach in the past about personnel decisions. Do more of that. Let Ben Johnson pick your offensive line. I'm fine with it, especially if he brings Hank Fraley over. But I said it yesterday, man, this is big boy football. And it does, like, if you want to draw the parallel to the Cubs, that this feels like Craig Counsell was still big boy baseball.
Yeah.
The decision may not have worked, but you played big boy baseball in making the move.
Well, I think that's the perfect cautionary tale, too. You can go out and get the coach, but that's not where the work stops. Like, the Cubs went out, got the coach. That's where the work stopped.
Yep.
And you cannot half-ass this thing. Like, you
and
have
I don't
to
believe
now,
that they will.
You better not. Like, you've got the resources financially. And this isn't like baseball where you're paying luxury taxes and all that stuff. Now I get you can finagle with the signing bonuses and to try to offset. But you don't even have to do that. You've got ample draft picks. You've got ample salary cap space to work with. So there's no reason why you should be stopping this thing where it's at right now. Where, all right, the highlight of our offseason is going to be Ben Johnson. No, there's got to be some complementary pieces that come in as well, whether it's staff hires, which I think is already off to a great start with all the reports of Dennis Allen being the defensive coordinator for this team. I think that's a great start. And then on top of that, all right, now you got to bolster the offensive and defensive lines, because for as much as people want to criticize what coaching was last year, what Caleb was last year, ultimately those two parts of the football team were, for me, what failed them the most.
Yep.
And it wasn't even close. Like, and for I get that you see the bad result with the offensive line because it results in a quarterback sack or something of that nature, or your quarterback getting hit, or a play getting blown up in the backfield. But
the what field?
The backfield.
All right. Just making sure.
However, the defensive line, to me, was just as bad as the offensive line.
I kind of think it was worse. Like, I think we can have this conversation too, but the offensive line, to me, you got to fix the interior. If you can fix the interior, I think your tackles are okay. The defensive line, you don't have anybody I really care about. Like, Javon Dexter's nice, okay. It's not, you don't have Jalen Carter.
No. Nope.
Like, he's not drawing double and triple teams. He's not helping anybody else out. Zero players on the defensive line, the top 30 in pressures this year. Just, you got to add.
Yeah.
And I think they're at a point where, frankly, what are the other holes? You're pretty loaded at corner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the defensive back room's pretty just good in general. Kind of feels like line of scrimmage is the only place you have to add at this point.
Yeah.
So, all of it is lining up for me that they are taking the process seriously, and they're kind of pigeonholed into a position where they can only help the things that are weak on the team. And they hired a guy who will stress those things, who will stress the O-line and the running game. I'm all in. I'm 100% convinced this is going to work. And it's exactly what you said. If this doesn't work, well, then I don't know. Just fold it up, because I don't know what does.
And I wouldn't blame anyone for folding it up. Like, I get, like, success is not promised, but this is about as good of a setup as you can have. And it would take something, in my eyes, pretty colossal for this to not work, because, all right, Caleb wasn't the best rookie quarterback this year, but he still had a very, in my opinion, very good rookie quarterback, like a solid baseline to work off of here, especially given everything that he went through over the course of the season. Does he have to get better? Absolutely. But there's something to work off of with what he did as a rookie.
312-332-3776 is the phone number. Are you all in, like Tyler and I, or are you taking a more cautionary approach? Your life as a Bears fan has been Charlie Brown with the football. Adam is in Boston. Adam leads us off. What's going on, Adam?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. What's up?
So, excited about Ben Johnson, just like you guys. But I got to say, like, I think if we're looking this objectively, like, the upside is, you know, Shanahan, McVay, Kevin O'Connell, something like that. But the downside feels, and it makes me cringe, like Josh McDaniel. Like, when that video of him talking to the people at House Hall with all, like, the really cringy coach speak, and it can maybe be construed as fake enthusiasm, he kind of comes across as, like, Kirk Cousins. And it's a little concerning. Because, you know, he's got to connect with these players, and you got to be genuine. And it can't just be rah-rah coach speak mindset, you know, all the time. I guess his track record as an offensive coordinator is pretty good, but head coach is a little different. You got the whole locker room and all the coaches, and I just hope he doesn't put people off with that.
Adam, here's what I would say. How many times have we seen a coach come in and win the initial media video and be awesome on the podium and win the press conference and then be ass? So I don't care. If you thought it was cringy, I didn't really think it was cringy. I just thought it was a guy taking a job and being happy where he's at. Look, if you think it's cringy because of that, great. I really don't care about anything other than wins on the football field.
Yeah, same here. Like, you can win press conferences, you can lose press conferences. It frankly doesn't matter to me one bit. I look at that video yesterday as a giant nothing, honestly. Not good or bad.
Yeah.
I think that Matt Eberflus could have gone out and done that same exact thing. Guess what? Matt Eberflus was a terrible head football coach. Yep. I also think Sean McVay could have walked through that door and done that same exact thing. Guess what? Sean McVay is a damn good football coach.
And I just remind people, everybody thought Dan Campbell was a clown at his intro presser.
Yeah, Sirianni, same thing.
We're going to bite your kneecap. And people were like, oh, this guy's on serious. He's got no shot. Sirianni, what did he do? We're going to put the flower pot in and watch the flower grow. And people are like, what is this guy talking about?
Yeah.
Well, he's in an NFC title game for the second time in 3 years.
Yeah.
So just, I don't care what they say. I don't care what it sounds like. I care what it looks like. And regardless of what the video is, they paid the most expensive guy. They got the most coveted guy. This is different. Now, keep doing different as we go forward. Keep spending the money.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get more of your phone calls in. 312-332-3776. A lot of people want to talk Bears. Ben Johnson will meet the media. We're going to carry that right here at 11 a.m. on ESPN Chicago. Shane Norling, Tyler Rocky, in for Green.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Shane Norling, Tyler Rocky, in for Greeny on what is now, I'm dubbing it, a Bears Wednesday. Is that fair? We've got Bears content coming out of our ears.
Brother,
today.
Next Wednesday is going to be a Bears Wednesday still. We're going to be buzzing off of this till the combine gets here.
It's Bears January. Ben Johnson will meet the media 11 a.m. We will carry that right here on this show.
Ben Johnson. It's Benuary. That's what it is.
It's Benuary. That's beautiful. Ben Johnson will also join Carmen and Yurko today, 12:30. Ryan Poles as well will join Carmen and Yurk at 1:15. And then Kevin Warren expected to join Waddle and Sylvie this afternoon live from Hallis Hall. So very exciting day of Bears content on ESPN Chicago. Tyler and I in for Greeny right now and asking you, we are all in on this, 100%. And I think if you are one of the people who's still a little, unfaithful about Caleb Williams or questionable or concerned, which, frankly, I think I could put myself in that camp because of the sacks and the deep ball accuracy, I'll offer you this as fact. The Jacksonville Jaguars have Trevor Lawrence and watched the two top offensive candidates reject them. Just think about that.
Yeah.
Ben Johnson chose to be here. Liam Cohen chose to stay with Baker Mayfield. Just, if anybody wants to be a little nervous about their quarterback, I would say Jags fans should be a little nervous about their quarterback. And you're probably okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a lot of that has to do with Trent Baalke, too. So what does this say about Ryan Poles as well?
Yeah.
The fact that Ben Johnson not only picked the Bears and picked Caleb Williams, but also picked a situation that has a general manager whose seat is lukewarm at its most conservative level right now. If this thing doesn't work this year, or at least take a significant step in the right direction, that thing's really going to heat up. If you don't see this thing look like it's moving in the direction of becoming a top 10 offense, then you're in trouble.
Well, yeah. And honestly, the fact that he took this job with Poles in place, it calmed my nerves because I was somebody who I thought the Bears should have moved on. Mm-hmm. And I thought that keeping him might keep them from getting Ben Johnson, which was my number one target, and all the reporting was he wants to be somewhere with a clean slate. But I guess that wasn't true.
But can we also kind of look back, and I feel the same way about Caleb Williams, too. Like, looking back on it, yep. There's all these different rumors and reports.
He wants equity in the team.
Yeah, right? Like, and it feels like we went through the same exercise with Ben Johnson,
yeah,
too. Like,
it's the mythology. You and I talked about the mythology of Ben Johnson got bigger than the actual name.
That's, to me, the most intriguing part of, like, the next month or so of the getting-to-know Ben Johnson process is how much of that stuff was true. The whole thing of, oh, he wanted to bring in his own personnel guy. Well, that clearly was not true. The $15 million plus a year stuff, it's looking more like it's going to be below that number. Maybe it's right at that number, but the early report was, what, $13 million is what it could have been in that neighborhood. So, like, so far, 0 for 2, right?
Yeah.
Don't believe everything you hear.
312-332-3776. Are you all in with us on Ben Johnson, or are you a little more cautious? You've seen this movie before with the Bears. You don't want to be Charlie Brown with the football, getting excited and swinging and missing again. Let's go, Billy in Park Forest. What's up, Billy?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, Billy? What do you got for us?
So we got the guy we wanted. Everybody wanted him. We're happy. Finally got him. Pulls. Warren, George got it done. Let's just say that this doesn't work. And I'm excited. I want it to work. I hope it does. But let's just say, do we blame Poles for this? Is Poles then on the hot seat even more? Or are we just... that's like making a bet and telling your buddy to take the bet, and then it doesn't hit and you get mad at your friend. I don't know if I blame Poles, but just want to hear your guys' thoughts.
It depends on why it doesn't work, Billy. Like, if it doesn't work because of the personnel decision-making, and it doesn't work because Poles doesn't address offensive line, or we find out there's a report later on, like, you can build any scenario you want.
Yeah.
Poles goes, I don't know, does the impossible and takes Ashton Jeanty. And we find out that Ben Johnson was begging for an offensive lineman and he got given a running back. Then, yeah, we'll blame Poles. But there could be any number of reasons why this doesn't work if it doesn't work. I have a hard time seeing us go down that path.
Well, listen, it's not going to be Ryan Poles' fault, but it's his problem. Like, you are now, 100%. If it does not work out, you have officially hired two coaches that don't work out. And this one, process-wise, kind of similar to what happened with Caleb, right? Like, they only interviewed him for 3 hours. That's it. You had a 3-hour conversation with him, and that's what led you to this. You didn't have a second interview with him. It was, he got eliminated. You never brought him into your building. Boom, check, hire. And to me, that's always been one of my criticisms of Ryan Poles, is it seems like he can be lacking in the homework department at times.
Yeah, I think they talked to 20 people, but the reality is they had their number one. They knew who they were hiring, and they made the hire immediately when they had the opportunity to do it. The pace that this went down, it was 100% always Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
It was never anyone else.
And maybe only falling in love with one person along the way, along your journey to try to find your next head coach, your next quarterback, may come back to bite him in the ass. It very well could. I don't think it will go that way, but... again, it always comes down to, but he has neglected the homework at times.
But this is just the price that you're going to end up paying. Like, you only talk to Caleb. You ignore all the other quarterbacks in the draft. You don't do the homework on all of them. You don't interview them. You don't sit down with them. None of it. It was always Caleb Williams. That's fine. If you don't want to waste your time talking to other quarterbacks and going down different pathways because you know you're taking Caleb, I'm good with it. But you have to be right.
Yes.
Same thing here. Like, you interviewed 20 people, and I now look at it like Mike McCarthy was a serious backup plan if you didn't get Ben Johnson, but it was always Ben Johnson. Mm-hmm. Well, that's fine, and I'm happy about it today, but you have to be right. And I'm going to be clear about something, too. If this doesn't work, like, and I'm talking year one, if you don't see genuine improvement and success on some level, Ben Johnson will be here longer than Ryan Poles will. Ryan Poles will be fired before Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
Period. So the pressure's on. There's no choice but for them to get it right. And the fact that they're doing it the way that they are, I believe that they will get it right. they could wildly disappoint me come free agency and come the draft. But this is such a serious move. And the fact that it feels like they are ponying up for assistant coaches, if the Dennis Allen stuff is true, if the Dan Rizzi stuff is true, if they do poach Hank Fraley from the Lions, then I have a hard time believing they're not also going to pony up in free agency and get serious and get somebody like Trey Smith from Kansas City. I have a hard time believing they won't take the draft seriously and refuse to address the lines of scrimmage. Like, this is what I needed to see.
Path's been laid out. You've got draft capital. You've got salary cap space to work with. You've got a coach who is offensive-minded in harmony now with a quarterback who is highly touted. I mean, you talk about picking and like all these conversations of like bringing in a quarterback to marry with a head coach. Like, he's picking this because he thinks Caleb Williams can be one of the five best guys in the league.
100%.
He's picking this. And it's one of the things where I always took exception to people who are like, oh, I don't want a Joe Brady as the next head coach because he's a Josh Allen merchant, right? Well, you're taking this job because you think Caleb Williams can be in the Josh Allen tier of quarterback.
Yep.
And it always bothered me. And I think Ben Johnson is taking this job because, to be honest, like, you think about some of the great offensive minds in the league right now. The only one that I think truly has an elite quarterback is Andy Reid. Like, McVay got it eventually with Stafford, but that was acquiring through trade. But, like, Shanahan's never had an elite quarterback.
Nope. He's a QB whisperer.
LaFleur doesn't have an elite quarterback. Nope. O'Connell doesn't have an elite quarterback. None of those guys do. This is one of the rare instances where you may be putting together elite offensive mind with potentially elite quarterback.
Yeah, and I beg of you, don't tell me that Ben Johnson was a Jared Goff merchant, because I know you don't believe that.
Just watch the divisional game.
Dude, I know how these people operate, though. It's Jared. The one moment Jared Goff is an elite quarterback, and the next moment he's garbage. Well, somebody had to make him elite, because you didn't believe he was before. So you got the guy who turned the Lions and Jared Goff into the number one offense in football. That's just, it's hard to be upset about it. We'll get more of your phone calls. I also have a question for you about what reasonable expectations are going to look like in year one, because I don't think we can afford to be light-handed on it.
No.
I think that we can shoot a little bit higher than a lot of people are thinking.
Yeah.
We'll do that next. 312-332-3776. One open line if you want to join in. A lot of people want to talk Bears. Leading you up to the Ben Johnson introductory press conference right here on ESPN Chicago at 11 a.m. Shane Orling, Tyler Aki, in for Greeny.
Chicago's home for sports. Now, by your side, through your smart speaker. Just tell it to play ESPN 1000.
Tyler Aki in for Greeny, taking you up to Ben Johnson's introductory press conference. The new head coach of the Bears will meet the media at 11 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. Right now, talking to you, 312-332-3776. Are you all in on Ben Johnson, or are you a little more cautious with it? Lewis and Lyles up next. What's up, Lewis?
Sorry about that. I accidentally hit mute on my phone.
All good. What's going
good morning.
On, man? How you doing?
I'm normally cautiously optimistic. I mean, this is the first year I was, like, beyond cautiously or above cautious, and I got burned pretty badly. I'm actually, for the second time, actually optimistic about a coaching hire. I mean, Cap was saying it best. Cap and Hoodie said it best. The Bear or the McCaskey seemed to want to hire coaches that could be the fourth on the foursome at the country club. Ben Johnson doesn't seem like that kind of guy. From all reports, he's intense. He is not somebody who's going to try to be your friend. He's somebody who's going to be detail-oriented and hold everybody accountable. That's what this team sorely needed. And, like, I'm just excited. I mean, he's actually putting together a good staff if Dennis Allen's going to be coming in. He's not like Trestman, who not only was a bad leader, but he hired, what was it, Mel Tucker, a guy who wasn't exactly known for putting together a great defense. I think there's a chance that he's about to poach the Lions line coach, who I believe makes the OC, putting together a staff. I am truly excited, like truly excited.
Yeah, Lewis, I think everything you said is 100% right. And The fact that if they do get Dennis Allen, you will have a former head coach on staff, that's a major win when you're hiring a first-timer, to have somebody who kind of knows what it takes. And
well, not just that. No one's hiring Dennis Allen again.
Not as a head coach.
Not as a head coach. So you're not going to lose him unless he doesn't have the performance and you eventually fire him. Like, that could be your Spags if everything goes right.
That would be, I mean, it's a dream. It's just they've set themselves up in a way that if they do have success, they have 10-year solutions instead of 3-year solutions. And honestly, the news yesterday out of New England, I feel like the Vrabel thing, I know people wanted him really badly. I got a feeling you dodged a bullet. The way that people sold Mike Vrabel was he will hold ownership's feet to the fire. He'll be a personality big enough to command how things are done. Well, kind of the reporting out of Boston, it sounds like Josh McDaniels was a little bit forced on him, a little bit of an arranged marriage. Robert Kraft's golden boy, the OC, having his third stint in New England, might not have been Vrabel's first choice. So much for he's going to make ownership do what he wants. Immediately.
I wouldn't necessarily even say that's dodging a bullet, because if that happened here, there's no guarantee McDaniels is the OC here.
No, of course not, but maybe Tommy Rees. Like, I have a hard time buying that Mike Vrabel, who, we got to be honest about why things soured in Tennessee. It wasn't just that the GM went nuts and traded A.J. Brown. There was serious conflict between Vrabel and the GM.
Well, and it was because it wasn't the GM that he wanted.
Right. And there's a history of kind of interpersonal conflict with Mike Vrabel. Like, it just, I don't know. I look at everything going on in New England. I don't really get a good feeling about how that's going to end, where I think the Bears are doing this the right way. Like, if I could choose a pathway, if I could change time and flip out Ben Johnson for Mike Vrabel right now, I wouldn't do it.
I wonder if it's going to, like, you bring up the confrontational nature of a Mike Vrabel. Are we going to get to a point where we're talking about Vrabel kind of like we do with Harbaugh, where, boy, he's going to wear you out. He's going to win, but he's going to wear you out, and it may not be for long.
Maybe not. Maybe he'll turn over a new leaf, and maybe it was just Tennessee's terrible organization that flips their GMs like they change their underwear, and we'll see. But I just, that whole thing reeks of disaster to me. The way that they've set that up, the way Vrabel talks about, we're going to run the football, and it will, if Drake May is our best player, then we'll play through him. Well, it's going to be tough to find out if you're going to start with a run-heavy offense. Like, it just,
with that roster,
McDaniels doesn't feel like the right coordinator. You go old school and a third stint guy in that job instead of somebody new with a young quarterback. The whole thing reeks. I don't love it, and I think that the Bears are doing it way better than they are. And then you see what's going on in Jacksonville, where apparently nobody wants the job, and you got the number one candidate. Like, this all just, it feels good.
Yeah, and Kevin Warren said, leading into the offseason, this is going to be the most coveted job. And I think we're starting to see he was right on that. Like, this clearly is, based on everything and some of the actions that some of these other ownerships and general managers have taken.
Jason's in Denver. Jason, what's going on?
Hey, guys. I am all in on Ben Johnson. I feel like for Caleb Williams, his ceiling is now his floor. I do have a quick question for you guys, considering what you were just talking about. Would you rather, at this point today, take Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, or Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
I don't know. What do you want me to do?
Listen, it could be one of those things. You can't go wrong either way.
Right.
Yeah, like, I think ultimately, it could come out in the wash. Like, it may just frankly not matter.
I still have questions about how healthy Jaden Daniels can stay, if he's going to continue taking these hits. He got helicoptered in their first playoff game. He doesn't slide
he
needs to.
I'll take the Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams home run swing, because of, sure, like, Dan Quinn's great and all, but he's going to have to cycle through offensive coordinators probably every 3 years. If things are working well, and if he's not cycling through guys every 3 years at the offensive coordinator spot, well, then one of two things has happened. Either he's been fired, or Jaden Daniels isn't very good.
Yeah.
So,
look, Cliff Kingsbury may not have a job this year because the Commanders are still alive, and maybe all the seats will be spoken for once they do get eliminated, if they do get eliminated. But he's going to be a head coach again if he continues to have success at this level. and then you're going to have to replace your offensive coordinator again. Ben Johnson, you're not going to have to do that.
It's the hardest
thing. He's your play caller.
It is the hardest thing to replace in football right now.
Ask Philly.
Yeah.
How hard it was to replace Shane Steichen and Jonathan Gannon.
Took a major and listen, same thing's going to happen now with Detroit in all likelihood. There's probably going to be a significant step back. Who's it? Charlie, you sent us, was it you that sent us the road schedule for Detroit next year?
It's brutal.
Every single team had a winning record other than the Bears on their road
schedule. Yeah.
This is what the NFL is, man. They punish you for being good. You get a first place schedule. Like, the league is not built for sustained success. I know that's everybody's favorite buzzword, and we've lived through the Patriots, and now we're living through the Chiefs, so you think it's possible. What those two organizations have accomplished is impossible. It's one in a million. And the best pathway to getting there feels to me like you get an offensive guy, you get a play caller, you get somebody you're not going to have to replace. Now, what does it look like? I'm going to be honest, and I want to talk to you about this because there's a lot of talk about they're not ready to be a playoff team. This division's hard. You have to make up ground talent-wise in a lot of places. The line of scrimmage isn't built. I'm not going to sit here and say I think they're going to the playoffs. I'm not going to say I think they're winning 10 games. I will tell you, they have to win 9. They have to. You have to improve by a significant margin because otherwise, I think the GM gets fired. Like, this is not another rebuild. You don't get two of those in this league. You can't get two of those in this league. This has to work quickly. And everybody talks about how strong the NFC North is. Well, what are we saying about Detroit right now?
Step back
is going to, it's implied. You're losing both coordinators and at least two position coaches. It's implied you're taking a step back. It's almost impossible not to. Minnesota, their offseason is set up for, I think, disaster. They have 3 total picks, and 2 of them are in the 5th round. They've got 20 free agents. Yeah, they have a ton of cap space, but some of it's going to have to go to retaining guys who are otherwise free agents.
And by the way, you're going to have a rookie quarterback next year.
Yep. Did the Packers sink too much money into Jordan Love? Like, that is a question. And right now, I think the Packers are set up best for 2025. We'll have to wait and see how the draft and free agency plays out. But it feels like the Packers are set up best. The point I'm making, I think Minnesota's poised to take a step back. I think Detroit's poised to take a step back. And I think the Bears are poised to take a step forward. And not only do I think they can, I think that they have to.
Well, it can't be a step. It has to be a leap.
Yeah, it does.
And
you got to be playing meaningful football in December next year. Fourth year under a general manager. You're on your second head coach. You got the number one pick at the quarterback position. You hired a play caller, an offensive mind. You spent a ton of money on him. This is not something where I will sit and accept 5, 6, 7 wins. You need to be good.
Well, and you think about, can you be like what the Seahawks were this year? Right? 9-8, maybe a little sluggish out of the gate, but like you start to pick things up. Defense gets a little bit better as the year goes on. Now, that was a defensive head coach, first time head coach in Mike McDonald, but he was the most successful of the first time head coaches this year. So can you be like that? They didn't make the playoffs, but 9-8 is certainly a successful season under a first time head coach.
There's just too many times that we see teams in this league replace their head coach and win a division. Or go to the case of Washington. No, they didn't win the NFC East, but they did win 12 games, and they're in the conference title with a new head coach, a new GM, and a new owner in the first year of all of it. So I don't need anybody to tell me that it can't happen. It has to happen. If it doesn't, we are in serious trouble. 312-332-3776. More of your phone calls coming up. Ben Johnson meets the media in about 15 minutes. We will carry that right here on ESPN Chicago. Shane Orling, Tyler Aki, in for Greeny.
Welcome back to Tyler Aki and Shane Orling. We're back on ESPN Chicago.
Shane Orling, Tyler Aki in for Greeny this morning as we await the introductory press conference for Ben Johnson coming up at 11 a.m. live from Hallis Hall. Right now, your phone calls, 312-332-3776. Tyler and I are all in on this. We love it. It's the right process. The Bears have finally impressed us. They're acting like big boys. Where are you at with it? Rob in Sugarland. What's going on, Rob?
Morning, guys. Going to miss you on Saturday. Can't wait till September. Anyway, I'm more cautionary, and this is not a shot at Ben Johnson. Do I see him making Cole Kmet look more like Sam Laporta than a statue for the Bears? Certainly I do. But I got to see what the roster looks like come September. I'm not sure they have more draft capital or more money to spend on free agents than they did last year. That's more of a question than a comment. So,
well, they certainly have more draft capital, Rob. Whether they have more money, that's fair. But they absolutely have more draft capital.
Yeah, I need to see what they do with it.
And that's fair. Listen, like, that's one of the things why I've always thought in Detroit the wrong people get credit there. I think Brad Holmes is being undersold tremendously in what Detroit's success has been. Dan Campbell is kind of the carnival barker over here, but Brad Holmes, look through the drafts that they've had the last 2 years. That has built that team.
It's not home runs, it's grand slams.
Yeah.
The first round picks, I mean, it's insane.
Forget
he's hit on all of them.
Second round picks, third round picks, fourth round picks, fifth round. I mean, on and on and on throughout the draft. When you're finding impact guys on day three, I mean, we're talking about impact guys that you've extended into making some of the higher-paid players in football.
Amon-Ra St. Brown, fifth-round draft pick. Mm-hmm. He's become a top-10 wide receiver by any metric.
Yep.
So that's the work that now faces Ryan Poles. You can't keep swinging and missing. And to have three picks that were on the offensive side of the football in the first round the last two seasons and it culminate in the worst offense in football by yards per play and by total yards, that can't happen.
No.
But this is why they needed an offensive coach. It's why I'm buying in on it. You've invested on the offensive side of the ball. That part's done. Now you have to build the line of scrimmage. Both sides. Got to fix the interior of the O-line, and you have to get a pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do those things and you do it well, there is absolutely no reason why you can't shoot for the moon next year. I'm not going to sit here and say Super Bowl bound.
No.
But, dude, the Commanders are in the NFC title game. This happens way faster than people think it does.
Picked second overall this past year, and you flipped it.
If Ryan Poles is any good at all, you will not be a significantly below 500 football team this year. You shouldn't have been last year.
No.
Three historic losses, and you were 5-12. You just fix a couple plays, you're 8-9.
Well, even the year before.
Don't sit here and tell me that this team is that far from nine wins. They're not.
No.
You got to fix a couple things, but it was three historic losses that kept you from being an eight-win team.
And you think, too, about the personnel that you have in place. Like, there are pieces on this roster that I think with some help, I'm not saying you've got a better roster than Detroit. That ain't true. It's far from the truth. But you've got guys that you can elevate to maybe look more like some of the guys that are on Detroit who severely underperformed this past year. DJ Moore, prime example number one, right? Like, that's a guy who should be looking a little more like Amon-Ra St. Brown. And maybe with the right coaching in place and the right accountability in place, maybe he does end up looking a little bit more like Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah, can we plot a little regression with these teams? Like I just mentioned, Minnesota's offseason is incredibly difficult. They have tough decisions they're going to have to make because they don't have draft capital. And they do have money, but that money will only take you so far if you can't build in the draft. And they may not have gotten a premium edge rusher in Dallas Turner. He's good. I don't know that he's elite. He's certainly no Jared Verse.
No.
Detroit, Taylor Decker is entering year 9 of his career. It just, things don't stay as good as they have been, especially when you have the coaching attrition that the Lions have. Mm-hmm. And boy, are those fans being introduced to it. I don't think they knew this was possible. A traitor. He's a traitor. If somebody offered you $13 million, it could be the most evil corporation in the world. You're taking the job. Like, stop. It's not traitorous. It's what happens in the league. Welcome to being good.
And the, he's already, like, had his staff all compiled. Buddy, you had an off week. Like, he was prepping for this.
They don't know how it works. It's incredible
internet crash out.
Ben Johnson meets the media. His introductory press conference coming up next. Shane Orling, Tyler Rocky, in for Greeny.